Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Peyton Jones guides us through the Old Testament book of Leviticus. Now to Pastor Peyton.
Leviticus 5 today on Through the Word. Welcome back to the Slaughterhouse of Worship. By the way, if you're looking to start a worship band, you could find worse names than Slaughterhouse Worship. Actually, you probably couldn't. It'd just gross people out. Let's continue to jump into the carnage that is Leviticus chapter 5. Chapter 5 verse 1 says, "If anyone sins in that he hears a public adjuration to testify, and though he's a witness, whether he has seen or come to know the matter, yet does not speak, he shall bear his iniquity." That's the first of many reasons that people might need to offer the sin offering. As you can see, we're still in the sin offering in chapter 5. A word of warning before we start so you don't get confused. So far, all the chapters have neatly fit into their boxes, but now they start bleeding into other chapters. Blame it on Stephen Langdon. You know the story of how we got chapters in the Bible, right? Believe it or not, the chapters in your Bible weren't put there by God. The writers of the Bible only wrote the words. Later, other people inserted the chapters, sometimes in good places, sometimes in not so good. The chapter divisions in your Bible were inserted by a dandy fellow who lived in England during the 1200s. His name was Stephen Langdon, and he also happened to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. He probably said things like, "Spiffing old bean," and "Oh, rather." Unfortunately, he sometimes picked stupid places to put his chapter divisions. Today, we come across a case of misplaced chapter divisions. Oh, come on, Stephen Langdon! Anyways, chapter 5 continues on with the sin offering in verses 1 through 13 and starts telling us about the guilt offering, a new offering, in verse 14. So we've got two in this chapter. Shh, don't be frightened. I'm here. So how is the chapter broken up? Well, chapter 5, verses 1 through 13, unpack some additional reasons that somebody may need to offer the sin offering. And they all have to do with accidental things. In other words, it's not people setting out to be evil. They just kind of blew it. Look at verse 1 with me. It's about somebody who ought to testify in court but doesn't speak up. Verse 2 through 3 is about somebody who accidentally touches a corpse or something unclean. And lastly, verse 4 is about somebody who makes a rash oath. These were no-nos, and if you did them accidentally, you had to offer the sin offering. And these verses tell us a little bit about sin and its nature. In the first case, not speaking up when you should may not seem so bad at first, but somebody was depending upon you. They needed your help, and you weren't there. James says, "When anyone knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, he sins." That was straight from Leviticus, baby. Moving on to verse 2. The reason that somebody who touched a dead body had to offer a sacrifice was because the Bible's teaching us that sin's icky. It spreads like a virus. Don't touch it. The fact is, sin pollutes. It contaminates. It's like a disease. Lastly, the rash oaths have to do with just being plain stupid with sin. We sin without even thinking about it. Even David said, "When I went astray, Lord, I was like a brute beast before you." In other words, I was like an unthinking animal. Interesting how the deeper into sin we go, the more like animals we act. Moving on, verse 5 tells us that when we offered this, we had to confess. The verse reads, "When he realizes his guilt in any of these and confesses the sin he has committed, he shall bring to the Lord a compensation." The old saying goes, confession is good for the soul, and John the Apostle would agree. In 1 John 1:9, he says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." God wanted them to realize where they had transgressed and then to verbalize it. Confessing it meant that they were less likely to repeat it. Verse 7 tells us, "If we can't afford a lamb, then we should bring before the Lord two turtle doves or two pigeons as a compensation." Because the sin offering was a required offering, everybody had to do it. There was no excuse that I didn't have the money to get the sheep. God says, if you don't have the money for a sheep, bring birds. If you can't afford birds, verse 11 tells you, grain will do. In the same way, God provided Jesus as our sacrifice so that no one would have an excuse. And people try to give their excuses why they couldn't come to him. Well, like this offering, there is no excuse. It's all been provided. God has made it easy to come to Jesus and to accept His sacrifice on their behalf. Flimsy excuses just won't hold up. Okay, ready to switch gears into the next offering mid-chapter? Stephen Langdon again. In verse 14, we're introduced to the guilt offering. It's also sometimes called the trespass offering. Verse 15 says, if anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unintentionally in any of the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring it to the Lord as his compensation. The guilt offering was offered for two reasons. Number one, you offended God. Or number two, you offended people. Now, when I say offended, I mean violated. You had crossed a boundary that they had set up. For example, maybe you worked on the Sabbath, or you got one of the ceremonies wrong. That's why it's also called the trespass offering. We've all seen no trespassing signs, and we've all walked right past them. One of the guidelines for Through the Word teachers is that you're not supposed to burp on here. That was a trespass, and if we had been in the Old Testament, I would have been guilty. I would have needed to have offered the guilt offering. Remember that the guilt offering is broken into two parts. Number one, when I trespass against God, and number two, when I trespass against people. Well, chapter 5, verse 14 to the end of the chapter has to do with trespassing against God. Chapter 6 will cover of trespassing against people. Unfortunately, thanks to Stephen Langdon, the guilt offering is going to bleed into the next chapter too. Stephen Langdon would have had to have offered a guilt offering for trespassing against all of us. Nonetheless, the law was concerned about offending God and hurting our brothers. If you know the Ten Commandments, they were broken into those very two categories. In fact, when Jesus was asked about the law, he said that the whole law could be summed up with loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself. Yep, that's right. All 300 and something commandments were about loving God and loving people. He just couldn't put it like that because we're stupid. Think of the law as the idiot's guide to loving God and loving your neighbor. It'll make things a lot clearer. By way of review, chapter 5 covers the tail end of the sin offering and gives us those that need to offer it, special circumstances. And then it tells us what could be offered, whatever you could afford, no problem as long as you do it. Then verses 14 to the end of the chapter introduce the guilt offering. As you read the section about the guilt offering in verses 14 to the end of the chapter, keep an eye out for the new introduction of the concept of interest being added onto the sacrifice, costing you just that little bit more. There will be more of that in chapter 6. Remember, if he could love a screw-up like Stephen Langdon, he can love you too. Both the sin offering and the guilt offering.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Peyton Jones is the co-host of the Church Planter Podcast and author of the book Church Zero. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.